On this week's show, ready, set, hut! Are you ready to hit the gridiron and tear out some spleens? Well, I am, Andy is, and I guess I hope you guys are. Well, Michael Mendheim, the commissioner of all things mutant football, is here to give us a few pointers. Also, Warner Brothers uses Detective Pikachu trailer, and it is super... It has no business looking that good. And finally, after last week's bit of lunacy, the Hype Zone returns to form, which really doesn't say very much. This is Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 73. Everybody, and welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens episode 73 for the week of November 19th, 2018, sponsored by podnuts.com. Andy, do you know what November 19th is?
It's a Monday, the day where this show comes out.
It is also my birthday.
Woo. Oh, wow.
Happy birthday to me in the future.
I didn't get you anything, so...
Sure you didn't. I didn't realize this show drops on my birthday. Anyway, I am Steven Fontana, and with me, as always, is my co-host and my best friend. It is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
If I had a scorecard for that intro, it'd be like a
solid four.
Yeah,
I was going to say, definitely a solid four.
Out of 10, though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was terrible. It was better the way I wrote it, and then you had to go in and change everything. Way better. And we have a third chair. We have a third voice. It is Michael. How are you doing, Michael?
Hey, I'm doing great. Great to be here. Happy birthday, Steven. And yeah, I'm excited.
Yes. So it's kind of funny. The when I saw that this game was, I knew it was coming, but I didn't really know too much about it. I was a big Mutant League football fan as a kid, and my friends and I were always like, why don't they just make that? Why isn't that just a thing? Just make that. Everybody has Madden. Nobody else makes a football game. Just make that game. It was fun. And then I saw this thing and I got so excited. I shared it to Andy. And then I guess he for about a week was trying to get in contact with somebody on your team to come on and talk about it. And then eventually this kind of all happened. So this was all because of Andy's hard work to get you on the show. So thank you, Andy. It's another awesome, awesome guest by you. Thank you, Andy.
I sent one Facebook message.
That's all it took. But
hey,
you said,
Andy,
you were.
Thank you.
He said he was working on it for me, so that I do thank him for that.
Thanks for replying back, Michael. Very appreciative of that.
Jeez, you could have made it sound a little harder.
No, full transparency.
Yeah,
I'm not going to bullshit our listeners, Steven.
We are totally accessible. Our community contacts us all the time, nonstop. So yeah. We're totally accessible to everybody.
Well, we appreciate that very, very much so. For those of you that are new to Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast, this is a show where Andy and I, and sometimes a guest, go over the Nintendo news you absolutely need to know about and have an open discussion about Nintendo's past, present, and future. Nintendo Dual Screens posts each and every Monday morning for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including iHeartRadio and Spotify. You could support the show by going to Patreon. Go to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers with an S, Colton Nessler, and our new Patreon producer as of this week, Alex Hernandez, aka Caneless. Alex, thank you so much. Colton, thank you as always. We cannot continue to grow without your support. You could be a part of the show by emailing us your questions, comments, and concerns to feedback@NDSpodcast.com. Now, before we get into the Nintendo News Report, we are skipping what you should be playing and the releases of the week, because I want to dive right in to the lead story. Michael, Mutant Football League. First thing, thank you. Second, how did you fall into this project? How did this come about?
So I was the original designer and creator of Mutant League Football, which we did way back in the day on the Sega Genesis for Electronic Arts. And I also did Mutant Hockey League.
Ooh, I did not play Mutant Hockey League, I don't think.
Yeah, so Mutant Hockey League has its fans, and they are extremely loyal, and they prefer that to football most of the time.
Really?
This was a game that I loved when we developed it initially. It was one of the early titles that I did in my career, and I just loved the game because I love football. I like violence and all of that good stuff. And 20 years passed, and it seemed like, hey, maybe it would be, the right time to try and do it again. So we ran a Kickstarter campaign. The first one failed miserably.
No.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have a demo. And and that was kind of the time where Kickstarter was having problems with games not getting done.
Sure.
So we had to deal with, the failure of that.
Right.
But I listened to the community about the product they wanted. I didn't think we'd be able to do a game on console systems.
Interesting.
And I have a small team. They're located in Kiev, Ukraine. My business partner, Maxime, said, hey, man, I'm going to put together some people. Let's see if we can make this thing happen. So we put together a demo, and it started turning out. It was actually fun early because we focused on making the product fun early. And then we prettied it up and we tried to run another Kickstarter campaign, and we did. And we actually gave away the demo because everybody thought we were just pulling smoke and mirrors. And it was the craziest, riskiest thing I've ever done. Just put out an in-progress demo that's not even alpha and just let people pound on it. And they liked it. And we hit our Kickstarter goal in 4 days. And funny enough, we actually made our Kickstarter in the Super Bowl when Brady was coming back in that classic Super Bowl game as he just took the game over. They were down by 24 points.
The game was nuts.
And that's when we hit our goal. And then we took that money and we went and we built our product, and we've just been building and building and listening to our community. And we just released Mutant Football League Dynasty Edition, which Dynasty is a play mode that the community has been screaming for. They really wanted it. And it's an arcade style franchise mode. So in addition to playing online, playing four player, local multiplayer, or two versus, player versus player online, we also have a season mode. But Dynasty is a single player experience where you start out with a really crappy team and you can build it into a dynasty and play multiple seasons, and you have to manage your players. And it added a wealth of depth to the game, and we're super excited about it.
That's awesome. I want to go back to what you said earlier about you had passion for the game and you wanted to make another one. What made you think that now was the right time to do that?
I didn't know. And I mean, honestly,
I mean, that's fair enough. I mean, yeah.
You take a leap of faith, right? I mean, you have a burning desire that you kind of want to do this thing. You have a community that's very passionate and encouraging you on, and somehow you make it happen. I think what we did was a miracle. I mean, we built a very fun football game with seven dudes over the course of time. None of us is very wealthy. I mean, we somehow managed to build this game and get it out to market. And we have the game on Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, PC, and PlayStation 4. I mean, that's four SKUs. It's just a very difficult thing to do. And we have a full-featured product, but our development was very kind of smart how we approached everything, where we've got some very seasoned developers on our team, and we got it done.
Congratulations. I mean, it really is. When people look at it, they're going to see it's a $30 title. It's not, they're not going to compare it to the upper echelon, but I have to tell you that it is a very well-polished football game. That's the other thing. Like, you keep saying that you made a fun game. Yeah, you did, but you also made a really good football game. That's the other thing that's actually really surprising to me, is that you could take the concept of Mutant League football and you could make it into an actual well-playing football game. And it's for me, it's the arcade experience I've been wanting ever since they stopped making Blitz and games like that. So that's another thing you have to hang, a little notch on the wall as well, is that you made a really good polished game. It looks beautiful. It's hysterical. All the names are hysterical. So kudos to that.
Well, thank you so much. The talent that we managed to put together on this product, everything from the voice talent, because we had, we've got a number of incredible people who helped us, as well as our community. Like, a lot of the names and the team names, that stuff, a lot of that is generated by our community.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it seemed like there was this void in the market, right? So you basically have sports simulations, and then like games like Blitz and NBA Jam, they're not there anymore. So these were games we all enjoyed kind of growing up, and they're also games that are easy to play, like with a few beers. It's not like... they're just fun games. You party it up a little bit and you get some buds together and then you have a good time. And like the humor
out of each other.
Yeah. And the humor in the game is kind of really important because it offsets the violence. And we have like Tim Kitzrow, right? And he does our VO, and he's the same guy that did NBA Jam. So he just brings like that certain element and that retro feel to the product, and he also helped legitimize the product. Once you get Kitzrow in there, it's like, yeah, it's all kind of working.
So I actually want to ask you a question from Twitter. We actually put out to get some questions, and Andrew asks if there was any discussion around making Mutant Football League a little bit more, I guess, Madden-like and more of a sim situation before ultimately going with the cartoony visuals and controls. Obviously, I think you already kind of nailed that you wanted to do what you had done in the past with that. But was there ever any internal talks about making it a little bit more of a sim-like game?
Well, so there's a couple considerations. I got to kind of parse that question. So our game has a very kind of stylized realism / cartoon quality about it. We could certainly take the game and make it more visually realistic in terms of like move it a little closer to like a Mortal Kombat kind of visual style. We could have gotten rid of the M rating and moved it a little over to the more cartoony style and made it a T-rated game. So those were some of the questions we had, and we ended up kind of in the middle there.
Sure.
But as far as going more simulation, I think that would have been a mistake for us, because once we start going sim, then we're going against Madden.
Right.
And we don't want to go against Madden because we can't do Madden. Their budget and their team size and their talent and just their engine that they've built over the years, we can't do that. The only way we can compete with seven guys against like EA is on the creative side, because creativity is free. Right. And so we have to kind of carve out our own space. We wanted to make a very good football game. I think we have a very good football game.
Absolutely. Yep.
Good strategy, good defense. Obviously, everything can get better. But once you start going, we're making a sim, now you're in a territory where you're going mano-to-mano with Godzilla, and we didn't want to do that.
It would also look pretty dang silly seeing a bunch of giant skeleton people like actually playing, like, I don't know, simulation football, I guess you could say.
Yeah, so, I mean, our wheelhouse is kind of in the NFL blitz kind of arena. I mean, that's where we feel pretty comfortable with. So a lot of people kind of just naturally go, oh, it's Blood Bowl, because, you know, we've got skeletons and whatnot. It's not Blood Bowl. Blood Bowl's a wonderful game. It's awesome. But this is like a adrenaline charged, you know, steroids up the yin yang type of playing experience. And it's not slow and methodical. It is like crazed. And, you know, the more artificial means you ingest while you play, the better experiences you're going to have, because it's just like, it's so unpredictable. No game ever plays the same. Anything can happen in this game. It's totally crazy. And we'll have people say, oh, you have that rubber band AI, and when I'm winning, then the opposing team, you know, all of a sudden magically catches up. No, there is no rubber band AI. You can beat another team 73-0, but there is an unpredictable nature in the game where if you step on a mine or if a guy dies, every time you die, the ball gets fumbled. And when the ball gets fumbled, anybody can pick it up and run with it.
I think my favorite layer, and it adds such a layer of actual gameplay variety and strategy, is the powers, just being able to all of a sudden just mow people down as a running back and just start swinging your arms wildly and just knocking people out. And then it'll just say, oh, penalty, death.
Well, we have what we call dirty tricks, and dirty tricks are special plays designed to kill and hose your opponent. So they're limited. You don't, like, they're not unlimited use. They're kind of like timeouts. You get three dirty tricks, and then after halftime, they rejuvenate, and you can use them again in the second half. One of those dirty tricks is always bribe the ref. So you can bribe the ref, and then when the other team scores a touchdown or has a big play, the ref will come up and call a bullshit penalty. And if they call a bull, and they really say stupid things, and then when they do that, you have one of two options. You can either kill the ref and take the penalty, or you could just bribe him again. But once you bribe him, then that bribe is gone. So
said you weren't making a sim. I don't know, man. Bribing the refs, that sounds a little too real to me.
So we have reviewers that go, I don't understand it. Every time I score, the ref calls a penalty and I get called back and I don't understand what's going on. So the ref has like this big bribe sign over his head when he's bribed. We've got like our announcer telling you, going, hey, dummy, kill the ref. He's bribed, right? And then after like he calls it back three times, we had to put in a screen that just takes control away from the player, puts up like one play that's kill the ref. And then finally, when they get to that point, hopefully like they get it. Oh, okay. I'm supposed to kill the ref.
Which reviewers were these that were not getting this?
I'm not. Going. You guys promised me you weren't going to get any gotcha questions.
Man, it was so close. So close.
Andrew
it
has
sounds
a,
like
okay, go ahead, Andy.
I was gonna say this is like exactly why this game should never be anything close to a sim. Because yes, we have games like Madden, which are great, but they drag on the realism too much. But this game is like you get some friends, you get some beers, and you jump right into it, And it's just fucking hysterical the entire time.
We designed this game to be played stoned or drunk, whatever your pleasure is. And that was like, really, you can laugh. We wanted, like, you know, college kids and just friends to be able to play this game without too much, you know, fuss in terms of what you're doing. So we wanted to keep the control simple. We wanted to kind of pick up and play. And it's just, it's really deep. I mean, there's a lot of depth layered in. So, I mean, you can get that out of the game, but just for like 15 minuts of just crazy, not so fun. I mean, it's really entertaining. So if nothing else, like, when people are playing it, they're laughing and they're screaming, and one guy's laughing and the other guy's usually screaming. That's how it works in multiplayer games in Mutant Football League. But that's what's so great about it. And the chess match between you and your friend that you're playing against is actually pretty deep, because you don't know when he's calling bribe a ref. Right. And you don't know when he's going to pull out the dirty tricks. And what dirty tricks are, for people listening and they don't know what the hell we're talking about. So you, besides for bribe the ref, you have other plays, and all the teams have different dirty tricks, right? So you could have a dirty trick called chainsaw. So for that one play, you hand the ball off to the running back, and then your running back pulls out a chainsaw, and then you can press the button and he'll do chainsaw attack moves for a limited amount of time. And you can really, like, lay waste to the people on the playing field.
It's a beautiful thing.
Another dirty trick is called ginormous, where one of the players will grow. So now all of a sudden it's like a huge giant on the field, and whoever he comes in contact with, like the ball carrier, will die. And again, whenever you die in the game, if you're the ball carrier, the ball gets fumbled. And that's just part of the fun of the game. So there's a whole variety of dirty tricks in the game. We tried to match up the dirty tricks with the teams. So, you know, like our team, like the Croakland Invaders, like they have some pretty nasty dirty tricks, right?
So you were saying how, you know, this game was originally meant to, you know, it's all about the fun and that stoner, like, college crowd. Now you're going back 20 years ago, you have fans kind of buzzing in your ear, because I was a young guy when this game first came on the Sega Genesis in its original form. Did you think it would have a hard time sort of reaching today's younger audience, like connecting with them? Or were you just like, the fun will sell the game itself and we'll just see how this plays out?
No, I think we're still trying to figure that one out, actually. So when I'm at, like, PAX at a game show, like, we'll have young kids playing and they love it. But, you know, are they actually going out and buying it? Yeah. And I don't know if they are. And that's kind of the tough sell. Like, when they're at the show and they're playing it, they're loving it. And I'm sure, like, people at the show are going home and they're picking it up, right? Because I have, like, sell the game at shows, but I need to get beyond the shows. For Mutant Football League to succeed, it has to break into that market. And I'm not sure we're doing the best job of breaking into that market right now.
I think the holiday season will have some, will help you a little bit there, like kids asking for it for Christmas and, or, you know, the holiday season. I think that will definitely boost. I mean, that's what we did as kids. It was, rented a game at Blockbuster and you said, I need this game. Dad, you have to get me this game.
I mean, that's back then, but do you feel like, for example, Twitch or YouTubers will have an impact on this game? Because I feel like it's like a lot of streamers get into it. It's so fun to play. Do you think that plays a role in how the game is being received by?
When you look at some of the streamers, you know, guys on YouTube or Twitch, wherever, I mean, we have some really good viewer numbers. I mean, some are shockingly good. And the games are just fun to watch, right? Because they're entertaining just to watch them. I would hope that, you know, our product does a little better than expectations, you know, based on all of that. But I don't know if that's going to translate into reality. You know, I really hope it does. I'm really proud of the product, but a lot of our success, really, man, it's like been word of mouth, and we don't have like huge marketing budgets. I wish we did, but we don't. But like the trailers and stuff that we do put out are very good. It's always like very good quality, but I don't know if this title is breaking through yet. I know once people play it, they like it and they want to have the game. But, you know, do enough people know it's out there?
Yeah, because you mentioned your first Kickstarter campaign. I wasn't even aware of that.
Right.
I saw the second round that you guys got double the amount of funding that you requested. But as far as the first campaign, I was like shocked that that was even ever a thing. Like, oh, really? You guys had a first campaign? That's kind of new. Right.
And there's people, I mean, every day I get emails going, I didn't know this game was out there. I'm like, yeah, go get it. It's such a bargain. You're like, how can you not drop $30 to buy this awesome game? So yeah, you know, we're trying. I mean, we're fighting and we're doing everything you can. It's not the most fun being a little guy. I've been on both sides, right? I've been working for large publishers and having like great resources and great budgets and great marketing. And then, you know, I'm in the indie side right now where it's a whole different animal. But, you know, it's like being a garage band in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
it just is. But it's cool. I love it. And, you know, it pulls me back to my roots. But it's a tough battle, but if you got enough passion and you believe in the product and the actual product, you know, is good, well, you just keep trying, you know, that's all you can do.
Well, I want to wish you guys luck, because it you know, the common thread with all of the indie devs that we do get on the show is visibility is key. It's always an uphill battle. Some get lucky, some don't, some struggle, some don't. And I wish you, we both do, we wish you all the luck in the world, because this is a really fun game. You did a really good job both keeping the nostalgia alive and also reinventing it and making it fun for, well, us 30-year-olds now who grew up playing it. And kudos to you, and good luck with everything.
Well, you know, thank you so much, Steven. And I just want to say thank you to both you and Andy for like giving us some airtime here and some exposure for the product. We totally appreciate it. And our product is a community-driven product. So anybody out there listening, we listen to our community, and our community helps develop the game, and we build features based on what the community wants, right? So like for the Switch, everybody wanted us to have like a room where you can invite friends to play online, right? So we just created that, and we're putting that out in a patch within the next couple weeks. And that's kind of how we roll. So
that's awesome.
Very much appreciate it.
Well, I guess we'll end then on Andrew's final question here, because he rattled off a few of them here. And I guess this goes back to your community-driven part. He would like to know if we will see the Lizard Men hitting the pitch at any point.
The Lizard Men.
Lizard Men. Yes, apparently this was a requested race that or a team. The Lizard Men. Listen, I didn't make the questions.
Is this from the television show, the cartoon, or is this from the original game? I think what they mean are aliens.
Don't know. Andrew.
Okay. Andrew, you're telling me, bro. Andrew, you got to bring us better questions, dude.
He said the game was for people who are, you know, want to get stoned and play, not be stoned and tweet. Just Josh and Andrew.
Oh my God, there was now the cartoons. I'm getting flashbacks now.
Yeah, you guys had a cartoon. Forgot about that.
I don't understand this, because not to end this portion of the show, but I just feel like you guys had an amazing game 20 years ago. There was a great sequel. You're working on a basketball game after that in development. There was a cartoon show. Where there was action figures, I remember.
Right.
Where did the series go? Why did it just vanish into thin air?
So, we'll go back real quick.
Yeah.
Let's take the way back machine.
So, at Electronic Arts, when Trip Hawkins, you know, was running EA, he was the guy who he greenlit Mutant Football League, right? So then when Trip went off to do 3DO, they brought in new leadership into Electronic Arts. And they looked like they always do at all the product line. And they basically said, you know, Madden, like, look at the numbers and look at our sports title numbers, and let's just focus on making the best sports games in the world and nothing else.
Hmm.
And that's what they did. And so, you know, a lot of the other stuff that would confuse trying to be the real sports company, they just got rid of, which, you know, was really smart of them to do. And they just focused on simulation sports. So that's what happened.
It was an unfortunate casualty.
Yeah. But, you know, that's just part of the industry. I mean, that's how it goes.
Well, we're glad it's back.
So am I. And thank you. Yeah. I didn't think I'd get out of this meeting interview thing without going down the EA road, but we just did. So there you go.
Well,
way right to go, Andy. Right, bullseye, buddy.
It was on my little list of questions here. I gotta mention that it's our EA question mark.
somewhere. It's all good. you know, it is what it is, right?
But
I mean, Madden looks like, I mean, it's amazing. You're playing a football televised broadcast. I mean, it's just what those guys have done with that product is just astounding. And it's one of my favorite games, right? So there you go.
All right, let's move on to the Nintendo News Report, because there are other amazing things going on. Like, out of nowhere, this Detective Pikachu trailer. Michael, did you happen to see this?
Dude, I wish I have. I haven't.
After the show, you have to watch it, because it my jaw was on the ground. It looks so good, and it has no business looking that good, like, at all.
I've got it on right now.
Nintendo has done something here, because I remember a couple of years ago, they said they wanted to diversify their IP. They wanted to get into cartoons, more toys. They wanted to do the movies and theme park, which they're currently building. And obviously, Pokemon and Mario are like your two biggest things. So we have the Mario movie coming. And now this Detective Pikachu, which everybody rolled their eyes when they announced this movie. I know, Andy, your eyes rolled so hard that I'm pretty sure you scraped your iris on the back of your eyelids.
It was because of Ryan Reynolds. I was like, really? He's voicing Pikachu?
Right.
Come on now. Deadpool's voicing Pikachu? And that's not... No.
And from the opening frame of this trailer where they show the city, I was like, oh my God, I'm in. Because they're not like doing this cartoony...
I'm watching it right now.
Oh my God, it's totally sci-fi and it's beautiful.
And yet people are still bitching about it.
People are always going to complain. Always. Always. But what are your thoughts, Andy? What were your thoughts on the trailer?
Dude, I feel like I'm in the same boat as you are. How, you know, Pokemon for me, it's not one of my go-to franchises.
Right.
It's not one of my favorites growing up. I was more into horror games and side-scrolling platforming titles and, you know, more traditional RPGs, not monster-catching games like Pokemon was. But when I saw this, again, I did not. It has no right to look this good. It really doesn't.
It's crazy. You know, I'm watching it. I'm going, okay, this is Pikachu meets Blade Runner.
Yes, exactly.
With some LSD mixed in.
You hit it on the head.
That is exactly what it is. Everything's bright and colorful. People were complaining about their look being furry and whatever, but whatever. He's a mouse.
Yeah. Plastic looking.
Yeah, exactly.
I do not get that complaint that they're too furry. Like, these are animals.
Right. You know what? They're going to bitch about something, right? They're going to bitch about anything. So it's nothing you can do. He's too furry. He's not furry enough, right? So you can't.
I'm sorry. That Jigglypuff is the most adorable thing I've seen on a silver screen. That thing is like the cutest thing ever.
That's really cool. Yeah, it's art direction though. Like the sets are like, there's a little Blade Runner going on in there for sure.
Oh man, I can't wait. It's just it's Warner Brothers and Legendary Pictures that are making this movie. So those guys know how to do like monster films, quote unquote. We got Godzilla coming out soon. They did King Kong, so they know what they're doing.
They're no stranger to the blockbuster.
Yeah, to get the look right. And this is going to explode, I feel.
Well, this one is like, this is not like a slam dunk. I mean, this is a total high concept dice roll type of thing.
Yeah.
How they're presenting it. I mean, they're rolling the dice here. And I kind of like that. That's cool. I mean, because there could have been a very safe way to do this, right? Mm-hmm. They're not taking that approach.
They're not doing Space Jam, that's for sure.
Yeah,
and they're definitely taking a risk with Detective Pikachu and not just a regular Pokemon movie. But this definitely could potentially set up a whole universe of these movies, which really excites me because the stories you can tell in that universe, it doesn't have to follow the games or the anime or the manga or anything like that. It could just be its own thing. And I think they're going to show it right off the bat with this quirky IP, this quirky offshoot spinoff of their most popular franchise. Excellent idea. Andy, what's coming to the Switch Online?
Oh, we got three new games coming our way, Steven.
Yes.
The first being Metroid, which makes you wonder, why was that part of the launch lineup for a Switch Online service?
I don't know.
Kind of weird, but hey, it's on there now. We're also getting two more games that I don't care about. Mighty Bomb Jack and Twinbee.
Never played either one of them. Twinbee's a good game. I've heard good things.
What about Mighty Bomb Jack? Have you ever played that one before?
No. Never played it.
How about you, Michael? Ever play Mighty Bomb Jack?
No, I haven't. I'm sorry. I'm sure it's a fine game.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the classic now. It's on the Switch Online, so...
It looks like you're playing as the Eggplant Wizard with a cape from Kid Icarus.
There you go.
He's jumping around. Speaking about Metroid, Reggie, our boy Reggie... from Nintendo, Reggie Fils-Aimé, was just talking about some Nintendo dealings and went into some details about Metroid Prime 4, amongst other things. Just when we can expect to see more of this game, release date-wise, and he said some interesting things.
Yeah, so essentially... he said, quote, internally, we have expectations about when Metroid Prime 4 is going to be released. We haven't announced it, but yeah, the game is well in development, which is encouraging because it certainly didn't seem like it was well in development when all they did was throw a logo up there less than a year ago. So,
yeah, and this article just has that same logo. I'm like, yeah, it's the same place you were 2 years ago.
But what was interesting is that if you scroll down a little bit on this article, and it comes from Nintendo Everything, they did a nice little recap of this interview, and this is on release dates. He says, quote, "We do think deeply about the sequencing of our games, but having said that, if a game isn't ready, we will push it out of development in order to make sure that it's going to be as strong as possible when the game launches. During my tenure with Nintendo, we've pushed back development a number of times on key games. In the end, it's always worth it because our focus is so strong. But he also had mentioned that they typically don't like to release game or announce games more than a year away from their release, with very, very few exceptions.
Which is also, yeah, it's like, we do, we don't. So it's either 6 months to a year, or in the case of a Zelda, all bets are off. So he's taking a little column A, little column B. So either way, I mean, we saw Metroid Prime 4 get announced 2 years ago. So I think this is more in the Zelda column. Like, it's a really high tempo release for them. So they're kind of like getting that hype nice and built up.
Sure.
But look at games like Luigi's Mansion 3 and Animal Crossing. Those were announced not too long ago, so hopefully those will be out before the end of next year.
Yeah, I think the games that they showed any sort of anything that they got a head out and they had such fever behind it. Obviously, Yoshi was one of them. I think that's coming out in February, I believe, right?
But Yoshi was shown again at E3.
Right.
Years ago.
Exactly. I hope that they stick to that so that they don't. I'm really tired of those kinds of news cycles where it's three E3s. We get to see a little part of a game, and I'd much rather you announce it when it's ready to go, like how Bethesda does their stuff. But
well, they they try to plan for big launches, right?
Sure.
So you're looking out a couple years. But then development's very unpredictable. And there's a million things that can go wrong to derail you. Some your fault, some acts of God, that you just didn't see coming. And that you can actually get a game done is a very difficult feat. So these games not only have to get done, but they have to get done at a certain quality, and they want these games to be successful. So, sometimes marketing gets a little bit ahead on the development team, and then that's what happens.
Do you think that has a lot to do with, having shareholders and having to let them in on what's going on so that they can be comfortable with the future of the company?
Well, I think that plays into it, certainly. But honestly, I think it's about setting up a good marketing campaign and figuring out all your product lineups and figuring out a good launch window. I mean, obviously, you need to tell the investors and all of that about the exciting new products, because that's kind of how they look forward in terms of looking at the value of your company. But I mean, internally on just a product development SKU, you have to create launch windows for these titles, and you have to give them enough space for your marquee titles to actually get the exposure they need. And if you have a slippage, it kind of screws up everything. And those slippages happen all the time, just because it's very unpredictable. You're working with people, creative people that are unpredictable, and you're working with technology, which, is consistent, but it's also unpredictable because stuff happens all the time. I mean, you get a nasty bug, it could take you 5 minutes to fix, or it could take you 5 days, right? It's you never know. So it just is very hard to thread the needle on some of these big marquee titles. So that's why a lot of companies and even movies, they'll go coming summer, but they won't give you a date, but they know that somewhere within that summer window, within 3 months, they should be okay. But sometimes that 3 months is not enough. Sometimes it's 6 months or even a year.
Right. If you do pre-screening and focus groups, that could lead to rewrites and reshoots and other things as well. Yeah, that's a nightmare.
Or, the actor dies, or the actor gets arrested for something, and now you got to go back and you got to reshoot it's just, all shit happens.
Well, speaking about shit happens, Nintendo just won a $12 million lawsuit against a little website known as Where Are You? What's it called? scrolling down my list.
I'm glad, because they were hurting for the money. You know what I mean? They were real.
Yeah.
They needed that $12 million.
How was the website not on the article in NintendoLife.com within the first sentence?
Oh God, my computer's trying to reset. No,
do you not? I do not see the name of this.
No, I actually was going to skip this article, so you might as well move into the hype zone. Put your tinfoil hats on, Michael.
It's already on, man.
It's been on.
It's time to speculate. It's time to get into the hype zone. The hype zone is all about Speculation Nation, baby. It is. Oh boy, Andy. Oh man, my palms are actually itchy thinking about this. Take it away, Andy. Take us into the hype zone.
Listen, you know, we don't like to speculate much on this podcast.
We don't like it.
We deal in the cold hard facts.
Right.
Right. Exactly. But according to a Twitter user named Leaky Panda,
Pandy?
Leaky Pandy.
Right.
This is a very unfortunate name. Mm-hmm. Dropped a bombshell post.
Big old bombshell.
Platinum Games. Mm-hmm. Is working on 3 exclusive Switch games.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
So it could be Bayonetta 4, 5, and 6.
Obviously. Could be. Yeah. Yeah.
This could be a Bayonetta X Devil May Cry, which they kind of alluded to before.
Sure.
It could be Metal Gear Rising 2. Yeah. 3, 4.
Could be. Yeah.
It just, the sky's the limit.
Could be Mutant Hockey League. You never know. Could be anything. Could be anything. Obviously, this is sending the internet into a goddamn tizzy.
Didn't you know?
What happened?
It's Mutant League Basketball, didn't you know?
Oh, yeah, I guess. Mutant League Croquet. So, yeah, speculate away, internet. You're definitely... did your job this week hyping that up. That was, see, the thing is with these rumors is that, and this actually goes back to our actual news about when studios want to actually announce games. It's stuff like this that starts that pushes that ball down the hill, and it just starts collecting as it rolls down further and further until we grab it on the hype zone and it becomes a big old boulder. But do you think it's going to be anything good, really, Andy?
No, it's going to be ports or,
yeah, probably,
you know, a bundle of some kind. But they're working on Bayonetta 3. It's like, can we just do that and let that one be out the door first without 3 games we're rumored working on now? It's like, no, let's get the one done first, and then we'll talk.
Let's do some trivia. What do you think there, Andy?
I think
you ready to do this thing?
I think, yeah.
You ready to do the Retro Game Club? Are you ready, Michael? Are you ready?
I'm ready. All right. Yep.
Oh my God! All right. You want to go over the rules?
No. First, we're gonna touch on our sponsor this week.
Oh, we have a sponsor. Yes.
I said
I'm
that.
Glad you remembered.
Before we get into the Retro Game Club, let's talk about this week's sponsor, podnuts.com. Hey, are you a huge nerd? Do you like tech stuff that goes way over the heads of plebes like Andy and me? Yeah? Okay. Well, you should probably check out podnuts.com. That's podnuts with a Z.com. It's a podcast network that is dedicated to all things for tech heads. It's by tech heads for tech heads. But don't just take our word for it, all right? Here is one of our very own listeners, and he was the co-programmer of dualscreens.com, Maltese, okay? Michael Moltari. He says, and I quote, this is directly from him, "Podnuts offers great tech commentary and advice for all users. I hope that one day I can earn the coveted beard from listening to more Linux for the rest of us shows." There you go. See, it went right over my head. Andy, did you catch any of that?
I have a beard, so I may have caught some of that.
You do. Yeah. So do us a favor and head over to podnuts.com. Tell them Nintendo Dual Screen sent you. That's podnuts.com, podnuts with a Z.com. And now it is time for the Retro Game Club. This is how it works, Michael. I know you said that you've listened to a show, but for if maybe we have some new listeners, maybe after you tweet that you've been on this show, millions of people are going to come rush us and hang out with us. So in the future, hi, welcome. Hi.
Millions.
The millions of people. This is how it works. Andy is going to give you and I 10 clues. He's going to give them one by one. We can guess the game. We only get three guesses. So if we get it in the first clue, that's 10 points. If we get it in the second clue, it's 9 points, and so on and so forth. Now, Michael, I'm getting my ass kicked. Andy is winning 95-59. It's not looking good.
All right.
It's a problem. So I'm gonna need your help on this one. Last week's game that I gave Andy was Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Blue Team Rescue, or Blue Rescue Team, rather. So Andy's probably going to hit us up with some silly shit this week. So I hope I hope you remove the tinfoil hat and you put on that very old, that very special thinking cap, because I am a disaster.
Steven, I will take that disaster and double it.
Beautiful.
Oh my God, this guy's like got this guy's got some balls on him.
He's going to double the disaster. All right, Andy.
I'm quite sure.
If you, Michael, if you and I want to ask a yes or no question, we can do so, but we forfeit one of our guesses. That's how that works. And we only get three total guesses for the whole game. Andy, hit us up with our first clue.
All right. Clue number one.
Mm-hmm.
While this game was developed and published by a Japanese company, it was never released in Japan.
That's a very specific clue.
Yes, and I like I think I've used that clue several times on the show.
You've used it one at least once that I remember.
Yes, yeah. It's just kind of shocking how that happens. Like, you know,
it's because you're a garbage person, Michael. Not me. Have any thoughts?
Garbage.
Oh no, not yet. Okay. I'm not ready to guess.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. Okay. Moving on to the next clue.
I think it's going to be... Oh, by the way, these games were from the GameCube and back. Nothing.
Yes.
Nothing newer than the GameCube.
Yeah, we define retro as the GameCube is a cutoff for retro.
The game has to have been on a Nintendo platform. Not exclusively per se, but at least on a Nintendo platform. Yes. Okay, Andy, hit me again for 9 points.
This adventure game was released in 1989.
Oh, okay. An adventure game.
1989.
An adventure game. So we're thinking, okay.
Can I ask a question?
If it's a yes or no question, yes.
You could ask it to me and we could see if we want to officially burn a guess.
Well, I'd like to ask if it was a licensed product.
Ooh, okay. That's a good question. Yeah, Andy, we're going to ask, is this a licensed product?
I have to confirm. Give me one moment. I believe so.
Interesting. Do you know what that means? Is it based on a licensed property, like a movie or a cartoon or...
The answer, yes. The answer is yes.
Interesting.
To that question.
I like it. I like where we're
at. So, Steven.
Yes.
I don't know if Andy is like gone and done his research, but... I did a NES product, and it was released in 1989.
Oh, boy.
And it was a licensed product.
Was it an adventure game?
It was an adventure game.
Oh, we're going for it, baby. Give it.
Hold on. You can't give it. He asked a yes or no question. I got to go to the next clue.
I'm just saying, Steven.
Okay. Well, all right.
You know the answer.
So I don't know. Like, all right. Maybe we want to do a couple more clues.
Let's get one more clue and see if it helps you.
The third clue. No weapons are available in 3D hallways. No weapons are available in 3D hallways.
Okay, so I don't think that's my product.
Okay, so could it be a D&D game? Hmm. 1989. That was the year of the monkey. Andy, did you die? Where are you?
I'm still here. Okay. I'm waiting. Are we going to the next clue?
I don't know. What's happening? I think.
Yeah, I think we are.
Okay. Clue number four. A noose might save your life. A noose might save your life.
Hmm. A noose. So, why would a noose save your life? Let's think about this. So, some sort of climbing mechanic. I don't know.
Hold on.
Any thoughts, Michael? What's it, what does that thinking cap of yours say? I'm very curious.
That, cap of mine is saying we're screwed, is what it's saying.
Well, what was the game that you made in 1989 that you were thinking of?
Well, the game I did was called Fester's Quest.
Oh, what a game. What a game.
Okay, so that was like the first video game I ever did. I mean, that whole thing's a story in itself. So, oh, God, I don't know. I'm just guessing here.
Welcome to the club. That's basically what I do.
I could go on.
I mean, so we got like 1989. I don't know. I mean, it's sounding a little bit Castlevania.
I don't think he would be that obvious. He's a big Castlevania guy. I don't know.
All right.
A noose? Well, let's see. How could you use a noose in the game? How could it save you?
All right. Let's get one more.
All right.
Okay. Just for the record, all Castlevania games were released in Japan.
Oh.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
All right.
There's that issue. Yeah. That's a strong issue.
This is a very specific clue.
Double it faster.
This is a very specific clue. So they get easier as you go along. I'm hoping this helps pinpoint certain things. The game uses Blaster Master's overhead shooter engine.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be Fester's Quest.
The game uses Blaster Master's overhead shooter engine.
It's got to be Fester's Quest.
What about that line makes it Fester's Quest for you?
Because that's
it was overhead.
It's the exact right. Yeah, when you're
Blaster
shooting
Master.
And
there were other overhead games too.
Yes, there were.
I was wondering why that line. I can name a dozen more games.
How many
games
points is this?
With overhead. This is your 1, 2, 3, 4. That's your sixth clue.
That's our final one?
No, you get 10 total.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. So this is for 5 points?
Yeah.
Is it Fester's Quest?
It is Fester's Quest.
Oh, my God. That is classic.
So,
where's the noose, man?
So the noose is an item in the game that summons Lurch.
Oh,
and
geez.
He wipes out all the enemies on the screen.
Oh, God.
And as for the weapons in the 3D hallways, that's a quote from the manual. It says it here in black and white, and the game hints.
Holy crap.
No weapons are available in 3D hallways.
Yeah. Okay.
What 3D hallways?
Right.
That's what the manual. Why don't you ask Michael? He made the game.
We didn't write the manual. we made some huge mistakes on that game. That's like another show in itself, but it did really well. That's some good research there, Andy. Hats off to you, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of my favorite games. Now, just so we're all clear here, I was originally going to go with Mighty Bomb Jack as my game for this week, just to further fuck with Steven because it was in the news.
Yeah.
But then when I looked into your history and your career, I was like, this motherfucker made Fester's Quest. Hell yeah, it's going on the show.
So, Andy, who did the box cover illustration for Fester's Quest?
Oh, I don't know. Who was that? Was it you?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
I used to do box cover illustrations before I was designing games. That's how I got into the industry.
What was the first one you ever did?
Oh, God, I don't even remember. Like, I did a ton of them. Cyberball, Fester's Quest. I mean, Sky Kid. I did a
Sky
ton
Kid.
Of them.
Oh, my God. Yeah. One of my favorite Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Because that was like the golden age of the absolutely ludicrous box art. Like the hand drawn Mega Man that was like,
oh yeah,
what is happening?
All of them, Airbrush, yeah,
Iron Sword, Wizards, right. Or whatever it was.
Fabio,
yeah, that's Fabio. Fabio on
the cover. That wasn't much.
It was an airbrushed painting of Fabio.
Oh, that was fun. I was shit. We should have gone with Fester's Quest on.
Yeah, this is where you had it. I was like.
The 3D rooms, okay?
Yeah, and I thought they would give it away. I didn't think it would just totally, like, fuck with your head.
So that actually, a little peek behind the curtain, I guess. The creators of the game have nothing to do with what goes in the manual.
With the manual.
Well, we do, to some extent, like, we have to prove it, but that game was developed in Japan. So,
yeah, Sunsoft. That's what right. Those, yeah.
We designed it in the U.S. and then they tried to, you know, take those designs and understand, like, they didn't, it was difficult to understand the Addams Family, right? It's just completely different cultures and you're trying to, it was very difficult, especially way back then. But that was awesome. That was great. Yeah. Fantastic.
All right. That's going to wrap us up. Wow, Andy, kudos to that one for that one.
I always put the extra effort in, Stephen. With a guest like Michael, I gotta bring my A game.
Michael,
that was your A game for sure.
We had
it really happens on this show. So
I don't know which one of our shows you. I know you had mentioned that you listened to our show before coming on, so you could see what kind of shit show you were getting yourself into. But one of our recent guests was Greg Johnson, creator of Toe Jam and Earl.
Oh yeah,
and our retro game club went down a similar, accidental, however, hole where I picked Home Alone, which happens to star Macaulay Culkin, who happens to be a very big Toe Jam and Earl fan, who happens to play the game with Greg Johnson on a semi-regular basis. So this, it was all kind of tied into things nicely there. But that was 100% accidental. Andy did some research this time. So good job, Andy. Cool.
I
look forward to playing this one. It was Fester's Quest was the first angry video game nerd video I watched. Was his review of Fester's Quest?
Yeah, that's a hard game too.
Yeah, it's hard.
If I recall correctly,
really hard. That was the days that you bought one game for 6 months.
And you know, not many games have a blunderbuss as a weapon. So again,
no, not many.
There's more props to that design choice.
That game had so much shit going on in it. Anyway. This has been Nintendo Dual Screens. Nintendo Dual Screens podcast is part of the Proven Gamer podcast network, which includes Trophy Whores, a PlayStation podcast, and Game Stuff, a general games discussion podcast. You can support Proven Gamer by going to provengamer.com, reading the articles, and using the Amazon affiliate advertisements. You can also visit our brand spanking new website, dualscreens.com, where we have, as we had mentioned on our pre-show, we have our first article has posted. We also have a nice little welcome note and how we are going to review games using the 4Bs system. So look forward to our first few reviews, which should be going up sometime either this week or early next week. If you want to follow the show, you could do so on the social medias. We are at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. Michael, you are at M Mendheim, and Mutant Football League is at Mutant Football. Did I get that correct?
You got that correct, and Booyah. You can also find us on Facebook or on our website, MutantFootballLeague.com.
Awesome, awesome. And you could also join our Facebook group at Facebook.com/group/NDS Podcast. So yeah, join that and join the fun. Michael, thank you so much for coming on, man. It was an absolute pleasure, and I felt like I learned way more than I thought I was going to today about game design and all that stuff. So, and development for that matter. So thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, it was great to be here. You guys are awesome hosts. I had a lot of fun and thank you so much. Everybody listening, go out, get Mutant Football League.
Do it. And you could play when this thing gets patched and play online. Cause Andy and I purchased it for the Switch. So we could play together, join a room, beat the hell out of each other. It'll be fun. Yes. So good luck with everything. Good luck with the launch and everything like that. I hope everything goes well for you guys. And again, thank you so much for joining. Andy, before we leave, is there anything you'd like to tell the kids before we go?
Yes, I just want to say, Michael, again, thanks for coming on the show. And you're going to come back to discuss Fester's Quest? Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, hell yeah, you are. And stay tuned. Next week, we'll have Javier Jimenez, developer of Moonlighter, on to talk about that game. So, yeah, going to be a lot of fun.
Can't wait to jump into that. I actually have
that game.
Yeah, it's in my queue on my Switch. I bought it. I'm ready to start it. I'm very excited about that as well.
Yes, that should be fun.
Indeed. Again, thank you to our guest, Michael. Andy, thank you for recording, as every week. That's it, folks. This has been Nintendo Dual Screens Episode 73 for the week of November 19th, my birthday. Thank you. Wish me happy birthday. Thank you. And as always, please be excellent to each other.